a melody. We're going to get started with this, then my family is going to sing, and after my family, then Mrs. Barton and Miss Deborah are going to sing. Then we'll have Haley Davison and the men's quartet after that. So let's sing a couple of verses on this song. I have a song that Jesus gave me.
I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
All right, take a deep breath before we sing that third verse. I know the pumpkin pie and all those desserts are settling right there, but sing out on that third verse.
'Twill be the endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony, when the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
All right, y'all may be seated. Okay, Davison's, where are you? This is the first time that we've sung as a family in public. And 341. We're singing 341. Do y'all know that? Hope you know that because we're singing it.
Sought me.
about the streets of gold, beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing, and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory!
Miss Donna and Miss Deborah, if y'all would come up.
One day I came to him, I was so thirsty. I asked for water, my throat was so dry. He gave me water that I had never dreamed of. But for this water, my Lord had to die. He said, I thirst, yet he made the rivers. He said, I thirst, yet he made the seas. I thirst, said the King of the ages. In his great thirst, he brought water to me. Now there's a river that flows as clear as crystal. It comes from God's throne up above. And like a river, it wells up inside me, bringing mercy and life-giving love. He said, I thirst, yet he made the rivers. He said, I thirst, yet he made the seas. I thirsted the King of the ages. In his great thirst, he brought water to me. Yes, in his great thirst, he brought water to me.
All right, if we can have Miss Haley. And then the men's quartet will be after that.
Thank you.
We're an anchor for those who are hurting. We're a harbor for those who are lost. And sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know Him, and mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that He's done for me. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be all He wants me to be. Give up the wrong for the right. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For every moment His hand has held mercy, for all the love that He's shown all my life. A simple thing doesn't say how I'm feeling. I get tears in my eyes. So as for me, I'm gonna keep on believing in the One who's been faithful to me. I'm not out to please this world all around me. I've got my mind on eternity. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be all He wants me to be. Give up the wrong for the right. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see the miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, a sinner saved by grace.
I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I grow and breathe in freedom with each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace,
by grace.
How could I boast of anything I'd ever seen or done? How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I grow and breathe in freedom with each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Amen. Thank you, everybody, singing for us today. It's a blessing. I don't know who's supposed to. There we go. We're going to get that turned on. We might be able to make this actually work here. I'm thankful the projectors are working. And so I thought, well, we'll make use of it. I made one of my critical mistakes this week. Bible school was going on and busy all week. It was Friday. I realized, oh, this is fifth Sunday. I don't preach on fifth Sunday afternoon. I always ask some young preacher to preach so I can eat what I want. Don't have to think about my lunch preaching at me while I'm trying to preach. Well, it was Friday. I thought, well, that would be unfair of me to be asking somebody else to preach. And so I, okay, I'll preach. And so if dinner talks to us, well, that's okay. Then somebody told me a little bit ago, said, preacher, didn't you know that before on fifth Sundays, that we always just sing? Well, you got to sign up to sing if you want to just sing. So we're going to have a little preaching too this afternoon, but not much, not too much. I did want to praying about this afternoon and everything that went on this week. It was a blessing for me to be part of, or let me back that up, for me to be here during Vacation Bible School, because I really had very little to do with Vacation Bible School. I think I moved a table once and carried some chairs. maybe once, but it was nice to be able to just come and watch it work, and folks doing what they needed to do, and so along with that, I thought, well, let's talk about that a little bit this afternoon. It was a couple years ago, at least a couple years ago, that I put together a PowerPoint for one of the Wednesday night classes in our Wednesday Bible study time. Of course, whenever I go back and look at a message that I've preached or taught before, it always ends up changing along the way too. So it's not exactly what we looked at a couple years ago. But with what was what we did this week, I thought looking at the spirit of cooperation, or unity, however you would like to say it, is very important for a church to function in cooperation. And I thought maybe slides this afternoon and a few pictures might help you to stay awake. And Sandra's already nodding her head yes. And if I see somebody sleeping, Carter, if I see somebody sleep, I'm going to call their name and you go back and thump them on the back of the head. He agrees, so I don't know. We won't do that. But talking about the spirit of cooperation, and I'm hoping I can read that one up there, because I usually have my iPad sitting right in front of me and control it from my iPad when in the back. But we'll make it, because we're going to cooperate, right? We're going to cooperate with this thing. Well, in the book of Acts, we read from chapter 1 in verses 13 and 14, be mindful. And the Lord Jesus Christ has just ascended back to His place at the Father's right hand in glory. And the disciples there are instructed to go back to Jerusalem and wait for that promise from the Father, the filling of the Holy Spirit. It says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. As you can see, that print was kind of small on that slide. But it also says these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. Now, it's essentially that first church, the church that the Lord Jesus Christ began through his disciples and those others that followed with him. But as we look at this verse, I want to just focus on that one thought. These all continued with. Don't start that, Adam. He's already yawning back there. I don't want to start yawning back at y'all. But these all continued with. And thinking about that, there's an obvious context of unity emphasized in those verses. And again, as that first church, as they met together, and they met together for prayer. They met together as again, this band of believers united in and by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the unity that existed with them. Those words would stick out to me, but I'd focusing on those words, continued with. When you're in fellowship with someone, you're working in unity, you continue with them. And we see that as a theme in the New Testament in several places. And the fact that they were in one accord is a spirit of cooperation. When you cooperate, you can get things done. When you wouldn't think on your own, you could get them done. But when you work together in the Lord, obviously, there is that ability. Why is cooperation so important? Why would we emphasize cooperation, unity, when it comes to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the local church? Well, beloved, I think there's an obvious point. It's essential that unity, a spirit of cooperating where God's people labor together to see the kingdom of God advanced. Beloved, as a church, Our goal, number one, obviously, as always, is to give our Lord glory, to give our God the glory, the honor that He so deserves, He so richly deserves. And we do that both by, as we minister to each other, one another, but especially as we reach into this world for the Lord Jesus Christ, reaching out to those who need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. But as we cooperate and work together in unity, we can see the kingdom of our God advanced. And of course, in that, He get glory. Well, the cause, as we might use that phrase, the cause of God, the cause of His work, united these three men in Exodus chapter 17 for the cause and for the need. And if I can read that, I may turn around and read it this way. It said, but Moses' hands were heavy. Be mindful, this is when Moses was there on the hillside, and the army led by Joshua was in the valley below, and they were in battle. And as Moses was there on the hillside, and he had his hands lifted unto the Lord and praying as the battle commenced below. And as Moses prayed with his hands lifted, they were successful in battle. As his hands grew heavy, the enemy began to overtake the children of Israel. So we see as his hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And God was pleased as these three labored on the hill that the army of the Lord had victory in the valley below. And so these men's cooperation was essential for the cause of our God to go forward and to succeed. But on the other hand, here we see Moses, and of course he was aided by Aaron and Hur. And I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for the testimony of these two men as they sustained Moses and helped him in this a very important endeavor. But sometimes we can be on one side of the issue, and we can be on the other side as well. Be mindful that wasn't too awful, if I can get it to come up, that wasn't too awful long after that. And Aaron and Miriam got out of sorts with Moses. It's in Numbers chapter 12, and it's always Moses. Moses and God, God and Moses. Well, what about us? And Miriam and Aaron got out of sorts with Moses. And, let me just read a couple of verses out of that passage. It's in Numbers chapter 12, and it says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman that he had married. Moses had taken a second wife, and he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, here's their issue. Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Of course, we understand the Lord doesn't miss anything. He hears all, every word that proceeds out of our mouth. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. The Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. Well, there's going to be a showdown with God here. God's going to show what he thinks of all this. And notice it says in verse 5, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. And notice what happens. He called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you. I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. Then he names his prophet. And it wasn't Aaron, and it wasn't Miriam. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. And again, we could go on through, but the point being made, we can be on the right side and we can be on the wrong side. Aaron found himself on the right side as he helped Moses there on the hillside. But here we find him on the wrong side. As he, and I don't know, we understand as we read on in the chapter that God turned Miriam leprous. And Aaron cried out to his brother to plead with God to heal her. And this meek man Moses did just that. And God was pleased to restore Miriam, but not after he left her outside the camp for a week. So be mindful, I guess. I guess this is the point that we want to make sure we're always on the Lord's side. It's not the human side, but the Lord's side. Might we seek His side? Cooperation, working together with God's people, God's way. The need of another individual in our Lord Jesus Christ's ministry caused these four men that we often read about and preach about to work together. I don't know if they were all good friends, maybe all four of them friends of that man that had the infirmity. But we remember the story from Mark chapter 2 where they went up onto the roof because they couldn't get into the house to reach the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of their friend. And so they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Imagine this, carrying this man up on the rooftop, pulling up the roof, and then letting him down to the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't have done these, not one of these men could have done that, could they? It's probably unlikely that even two of them could have accomplished this. But the four of them working together in cooperation met the need and accomplished this great aid for their friend. The power of cooperation. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than one. Two cooperating together, certainly better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. Now, these two young folks, if you can see that, can you wonder who thought up? Who thought up the idea? You get down on your knees and I'll stand on your back and I'll be able to get a drink. But they worked together, they cooperated. I wondered when I saw this picture if sister allowed the other one to get on her back after they were done, after she got her drink. But they cooperated. They cooperated. I mean, there's a lot of stories I could tell about how our daughters cooperated, even sometimes when we wish they wouldn't have cooperated. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, just several passages of Scripture to hopefully speak to our heart this afternoon. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You ever been in that situation? Even physically, where you fell down and you wish there's somebody. Oh my, somebody to help me up. You know, and you didn't have that button to push. I've fallen and I can't get up. And, you know, you're in a tight spot when you don't have your fellow, your friend, to help you when you need them, when you need them. Just a side note here, there's more than one way to fall down. You can be down in a lot of ways, right? You cannot just be down physically, but you could be down emotionally. And that friend that had come along and lift you up and encourage you emotionally, spiritually. So many times we may be in a situation spiritually, maybe in conjunction with a physical need or emotional need, and we just can't do for ourselves. And then it's so essential to have those that are there to pray for us and to be there to aid us in whatever that situation might be. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together. And that word comfort in our New Testament is a tremendous word. It's a powerful word. It has a lot of variations of meaning. It can mean to encourage. It can mean to comfort. It can even mean to enter in and give a challenge when another might need it. But wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Encourage each other. Be a blessing to each other. Edify, build up one another, even, and again, the Apostle Paul encouraging that church in Thessalonica, they were doing that. But he said, oh, keep doing it and keep doing it even more. Even more. We had visitors here last Sunday night, as we often do, and it was an interesting night, as we all remember. But I was proud of y'all. You know, you get around, you do real good with our visitors to welcome them and make them feel like you're happy they're here. And I'm glad. I told them, we were shaking hands there, as we always do. And I said, I just want to warn you, they're going to wear you out. And he looked at me kind of funny. They're going to make sure that you know they're glad you're here. And by the way, when they were leaving, they went out to the van and they came back in. And maybe some of you saw it. They gave me a bottle of that juice they were talking about. And at first I thought, oh, I don't know. You know, taking stuff, I don't know what's in this. And I decided I'd try it. Marcia let me try it first. And she was watching me. And I poured a little bit of it out in a juice glass. And when she saw my lips smacking, she says, give me some of that. It was good. We had that quart drink, and it was some kind of pomegranate tea thing. All I know is it tasted good. It's supposed to be good for you too. But being friendly. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 11. I guess what do they call these meerkats? Well, these meerkats. It says again, if two lie together, they have heat. Then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? How can the cooperation for each other's good and benefit? Even these meerkats know that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Shall a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I like this picture. Our daughter has them big bulldogs, and when he's around, you don't want to mess with those kids or whatever. Show me where the bullies are. I'll take care of them. But with that, there's a lesson. One may be an easy target. One may be an easy victim, but two is a different story. Remember how your mama always told you, stay in a group. Stay in a group. Why? Because you're not an easy victim, a target, when you're together with others. And, of course, that's the theme of that verse. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly or easily broken. That thought from that verse, a threefold cord is not easily broken. You know, I was gonna get a cord that could be easily broken by one strand, and then get three strands and see which one of these boys could still break it. But I didn't want to embarrass them in front of the girls. A threefold cord is not easily or quickly broken. And as you and I stand together, I don't know of the time in history where we don't need each other more, beloved. We need each other in these days. We need to pray for each other. We need to stand together. This world is not our friend. We understand that. Satan in this world is wanting to defeat us and tear us down. It's getting. I don't want to be dark on this beautiful afternoon, but it's not getting easier. It's going to get tougher to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And having a church family that you can count on and depend on, that's going to be there when you need them. You know, I had people texting me and asking how Brother Wayne was on Friday, and you all do that whenever another one of you is in the hospital. And you know, half the time I spend it when we're waiting at the hospital texting other folks. But I'm thankful for that. I'm glad for that, that you care about what's going on in each other's lives. That shows that the strength that you have together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this passage teaches a very important lesson, does it not? We should not even try to go it on our own. Why should we? Why should we even try when God has given us each other? He's given us the body of believers that we can function and work together for His glory. Fact is, it's just not biblical to try to do it on our own. We're laborers together. And laborers together, most importantly, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lone Ranger Christians are hurting themselves. We're hurting ourselves. You end up getting ourselves all tied up in our own rope, so to speak. And here is one of our heroes. Where's that Tonto when I need him? There's strength in cooperation. There's strength in cooperation. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 8. It says, "And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." That's a tremendous verse. Just speaking purely from a worldly point of view, who wants to go to battle 5 against 100? Or who wants to go 100 against 10,000? I mean, that don't seem too smart, does it? Unless you're made one in this battle by the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the spirit of cooperation is very important to the Lord. Our God values our cooperation. Because of what the next verse says after this Leviticus 26:8. We see what Leviticus 26:9 says. God says to those folks who were cooperating, "For I will have respect unto you." God will have respect for those that desire to labor and to work together with cooperation. "And make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you." That's language of God's blessing. That's language of how God will bless His people. And what was it in response to? Cooperation. Folks working together in unity. Cooperation. Cooperation will see the Great Commission accomplished. Started with this, want to finish with it. Cooperation will see the Great Commission accomplished. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10 verses 1 and 2 says, "After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before His face into every city, place whither He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." There's a key, if I can get this to work. He sent them two and two. He sent them two and two. Cooperation. God's plan is for us to work together, not on our own, but to work together. To work together. And we see this, and it was His purpose, His plan. "I'm going to send you." And what does He say? "Whither He Himself would come." When I thought about that, and I was praying over those words, I thought he does the same thing today. He's doing the same thing even today. He sends you and I. And we go and work in cooperation with Him. And what's He promised? "There were two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Where you and I would commit ourselves to work together, He'll come along too. He'll come. He Himself would come. Thank you, Lord, for Your promises. A testimony. Testimony to the spirit of cooperation in Paul's evangelistic team. And again, we were seeing a little bit of this in our Sunday school class this morning. We've been talking about the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And all those that labored with him, so many along the way. Of course, Dr. Luke and Timothy and Titus, Silas, Barnabas. There's a long list, Epaphroditus, Epaphras. So many labored along with the Apostle Paul. There in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and then part of verse 3, it says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, him would Paul have go forth, again, what's the words? With him. Cooperation. And again, as Timothy and Titus and so many others along the way partnered up into cooperation with the Apostle Paul, they saw the cause of Christ go forward, saw God's work go forward in such tremendous ways. Along the way, Timothy would become one of Paul's most trusted laborers together with him. He felt so confident in Timothy that he left him in the city of Ephesus to oversee the work of the Lord there, and so many others as well. In fact, as we would go on, Luke joins the team in Acts chapter 16 and verse 10, and where the language changes there. Previous to this, Luke talks of the ministry in the third person, but here he speaks of how he's part now. Immediately, we endeavored to go. Silas and Timothy were left in chapters 17 of the book of Acts. They were left in Berea so Paul could go on and carry on work in other places. Others of the team that were laboring in cooperation. Everybody doesn't have the same function, right? There were those that were left behind, Silas and Timothy, but others did their part in aiding Paul in his journey as he went on to Athens. So we see the cooperation, through the cooperation of teamwork, saw the gospel go forward, gospel be extended. And then in Acts chapter 18, here the Apostle Paul is in Corinth, as it says. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. And because he was of the same craft, they had the same trade, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So even in the secular support of the ministry, we see the cooperation that went on as Paul labored alongside of Aquila and his dear wife Priscilla. Almost done. We see the encouragement. The encouragement of cooperation in the ministry. In Acts chapter 18, I love the book of Acts. It says, and when Silas and Timotheus, remember he had left them behind, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. When his partners, when those young preachers joined him, it was as if he was reinvigorated. And since that strength, he was pressed or encouraged or challenged in the work. And they were an encouragement to him as he continued to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, finally, I love this. I love Psalm 133. What a tremendous word it is to us, a beautiful word. And as the psalmist writes, and again, this is the entire psalm, Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. Listen to those words. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That spirit of unity, a spirit of cooperation. Verse 2 says, it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. You know, it was a special ointment. It was an anointing ointment. It was a prescription, a recipe, so to speak, that was not to be used for any other purpose. It was to be an ointment that was sanctified and set apart for only use in the anointing of the servants of God in the temple. And he speaks of it as this how pleasant, how good the unity of God's people working together. He likens that to that precious ointment upon the head. And again, the aroma that ointment would give off was a pleasant thing. It was a beautiful thing. And again, something that pleases our God. Verse 3 says, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there, now look at this, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Isn't that good? Where did He command the blessing? Where there was a spirit of unity, a spirit of cooperation amongst God's people. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. How long? Even forevermore. Beloved, we can enjoy and work and labor in God's blessing, in and through the spirit of unity. I pray that God would be pleased in these days to help us to labor together in unity. I think I said this at the beginning. If pride's a sin, I'm exceeding sinful, because I was very proud of everybody that was involved in VBS this week. They labored together, whether it was in the kitchen or down with the guppies. Lord bless you gals that work with the guppies. Down on the floor and up and down. Dava's still out. She hurt her hip. I don't know, I think one too many times, up and down. She's hurt, and please pray for Miss Davis. She pulled something in her hip. Well, only first thing I came to mind, she was back there laboring together in cooperation with the guppies. That means the little ones. And isn't it a blessing to see all these little ones running around here lately? It is indeed. We love it. Beloved, let's stand together this afternoon. Father, we do bow before You. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, for that forgiveness and cleansing that we read and studied of this morning. We realize it is that sacrifice, that as we have been united in Christ, made one in Him, and the Spirit, the work of Your Spirit in our hearts and lives to unite us together for Your glory. Lord, I'm praying in these days that You'd protect us. Protect us from this old world. It wants to destroy Your church. Wants to drag us down and discourage us and turn us aside from the work that You've given to us. Father, I'm praying that the cause of Christ, Your cause, would go forward. Lord, we sure long to see folks saved. Whether young or old, boys and girls, men and women, we pray, we plead with You. Be pleased in these days to save precious, precious lives. Lord, I'm asking Your blessing upon each one, everyone here this afternoon. Lord, would You dismiss us with Your blessing upon our lives? And Lord, I'm asking You to use us, strengthen us, Father, protect us. And again, Father, might we see the cause of Christ go forward. Your kingdom advanced even here on this earth. We love You, Lord. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, just for a second, anybody have a word of testimony they'd like to share? It's just us this afternoon. If you just speak up loud. No testimony this afternoon. Amen. Amen indeed. And we sure rejoice that Carolyn was spared that open heart surgery. Man, that was tremendous. Anyone else this afternoon? Before we say amen and go home. Amen. Amen. We're thankful. Pray for Brother Wayne. They've got to talk with the doctor. They may be able to open up that one other blockage, and that would be tremendous and a wonderful blessing as well. Amen. All right. All right. Let's be dismissed. Lord bless you all. Have a great evening.